Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, it's the bye week. Normally, the bye week is kind of a mid-season type of thing, and we talk about mid-season awards. But what the heck? Let's do the bye week awards anyway. Three games in. Who do you have as your offensive MVP so far for the Green Bay Packers?
Great question, Mike. I'm going to still go, and I think it's still Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
And I understand a week ago at this time, there was a lot of conversation about, you know, how he's playing, what exactly is going on with the offense. But think about it this way. He did everything you needed him to do in that first half to win the game. And then when it was on the line, the four-minute offense, it was his legs that got that really critical first down. There's so many things about Aaron Rodgers that he does well, but he's really the ultimate weapon in terms of really being able to beat you in so many different ways, whether it is with his feet, his arm, his mind. And this offense and this Packers team is going to go as far as Aaron Rodgers takes them. And with 129 passer rating against Detroit, I thought he really showed up. And you have to give credit where it's due. And Aaron Rodgers and the decisions he made, especially in that first half, are the reasons why the Packers were able to win that game against Detroit.
Yeah, well, I will say, I'll go with a couple of other guys on offense, I think, that would be in my consideration for me for this. Jordy Nelson, first and foremost, four touchdown receptions in three games, certainly showing that he's getting back to his old self. He's the only receiver to go over 100 yards in a game for the Packers this season. You really have to like where Jordy Nelson is and what he's brought back to this offense. The other guy I will say is left tackle David Bakhtiari. Sure. Mike McCarthy talks a lot about how handling success in this business is one of the toughest things to do. And David Bakhtiari was rewarded with a brand new contract. He's getting paid in a completely different stratosphere from where he was as a fourth-round draft pick, and you wouldn't know it. He hasn't relaxed. He's still the same guy. He is absolutely living up to what the Packers are paying him as a franchise left tackle. And it may sound easy, but I don't know if that's necessarily easy when all of a sudden a bunch of money is heaped on a guy at a franchise type of spot like that, and he's responded the way he has.
Totally separate player from Mike Daniels, but he reminds me a lot of the same thing with Daniels in that every single year he's been in the league, he's improved, he's transformed his body, and he's become an all-around football player. There were so many things he did well as a rookie, stepping in for Brian Bulaga, having to get thrown right into the fire and stepping up to that. But there were still the weaknesses in his game when they talked about, you know, the susceptibility to the bull rush with his size and things like that. When I was watching him in this game against the Lions, I don't know if you necessarily can really pick out an area of weakness with David Bakhtiari anymore. He does so many things well. And for the Green Bay Packers to find a franchise left tackle in the fourth round of a draft, in a year, by the way, that there were so many left tackles taken high in the draft.
Yeah, a ton of them.
It goes a long way with the philosophy of Ted Thompson and how they go about building a team, the draft and development philosophy. But also, you got to tip your cap to this coaching staff for being able to take David Bakhtiari as that moldable piece of clay, I think as Brady Papinga used to say, and being able to turn him into a really Pro Bowl caliber left tackle.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you mentioned Mike Daniels a moment ago. Is he your defensive MVP thus far, or do you have another choice?
Well, I guess the thing is, it's almost like, which one do we want to talk about? Who gets Mike Daniels? Because certainly when there's two people discussing it, his name is going to get brought up.
Yeah.
But I'll take the easy one. Mike Daniels undoubtedly has been the defensive MVP. You look at the stats, the same way it's always been with Mike Daniels. It's not going to jump out to you. It's not going to be like, oh my gosh, that guy is dominating. But if you sit down and you watch any game, pick one.
Yep.
He's affecting the football game.
Almost every play, it seems like. And I know that's an exaggeration because nobody affects every single play. But boy, more often than not, you watch the film, you watch snap after snap, he's getting involved. He's having an impact in one way or another.
Well, and Mike, go back and look at the Lions game. Sure, he gets his push when he's the three technique defensive tackle. But there were some dime packages where they were flanking him out almost as a 5-tech, maybe a 9-tech defensive end on occasion. And he's still getting push and getting pressure with that tackle. So it just goes to show you not only what the Packers have done against the run and he's played a big part in the number one run defense in the league. But in terms of also being able to flush the quarterback the way they have and being able to kind of push him at some of the outside linebackers, Mike Daniels playing at a Pro Bowl caliber level for sure.
Yeah, and I think the other guy we have to mention as a defensive MVP candidate thus far, we've talked about him a lot already, and that's Nick Perry at outside linebacker. And I bring up Perry for some of the same reasons that we talked about Daniels. It's both against the run and against the pass. This guy is having an impact. He's had the tackles for loss
right.
against the running backs. He's had the pressure. He's got the 3.5 sacks through three games. And just really developing into an all-around player and a guy who's in a contract year, and we'll have to see what the future holds for him.
Well, and so much was talked about Nick Perry this offseason, finally healthy, first offseason program he's ever participated in. Not fully, but just at all. And yeah. It makes such a difference for him being able to end the 2015 season on a high note. I know he was playing with that hand injury, but that healed up, was able to come back and been a full participant. The fruits of that labor are showing now, and if he could stay healthy, I mean, I think the ceiling is endless for him right now, and it would be nice, you know, he's always kind of been in that 3 to 4 sack range. After 3 weeks, already 3.5 sacks, fourth in the NFL,
yep.
It'd be nice to see him be able to increase that throughout the course of the year now.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see just how high that ceiling goes for Perry. Well, more bye week awards to talk about when we come back after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's continue with some bye week awards here. Playing off of a piece that you write on a regular basis during the season here on Packers.com, player on the rise on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Let's start with offense. Who is your player on the rise through the first 3 weeks on offense for the Packers?
Well, first off, let's remind, I'm new here. So I don't know the exact qualifications, what the limits are for what constitutes a player that's on the rise in terms of age or veteran seniority. So I might be doing one that's quite obvious, but I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy. And the reason I'm going to say that, one, still a very young man, only 26 years old, and two, really has been impactful with the opportunities that he's received so far at the start of the season. 214 rushing yards so far, averaging 5 yards a carry. We saw Mike McCarthy saying that they want to get him the ball more. They want to run the ball more. They did that against Detroit. He was effective in both the first and second half of the game. I've been really impressed by what I've seen with Eddie Lacy. You know what he is as a running back. You know what his strengths are. And I think the Packers are doing a really good job of utilizing him to the best of his ability. That's something they did in 2013. That's something they did in 2014. In the path that he's been on right now, if I'm Mike McCarthy and this coaching staff, I have to be happy with the production you've gotten out of Eddie Lacy the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned the 5 yards per carry. I mean, if you can have that kind of an average, and he topped 100 yards with less than 20 carries, very hefty average there against the Lions. I'm going to look at one of those guys up front for Eddie Lacy, and that's center J.C. Treader. Right. I've really been impressed with this guy. Now, he's not the biggest center in the world. He's not a mauler in the middle of the offensive line. But his athleticism is evident when you turn on the film and you watch the way he comes off of a combo block
right.
and then gets to the second level to get a piece of a linebacker. His athletic ability, it's a trade-off with Corey Linsley, because Corey Linsley was a guy, strength-wise and anchor-wise and all that, is probably better at handling those really big, massive defensive tackles or nose tackles right in the middle. J.C. Treader is a guy with the athleticism to get to the second level and throw some of those blocks that are helping this running game.
Absolutely, and I wrote about this in our Insider Inbox this week. It was interesting in that the Packers, they went so many years trying to find a starting center, and now they really do have two legitimate starting centers.
Yeah, for sure.
In
I agree.
J.C. Treader and Corey Linsley. Linsley's proven that over the last 2 years, and now Treader coming in, finally healthy, and all the work that he's put in and the number of positions that he's had to play, I do believe center is his best fit. He's extremely intelligent. He's athletic. I mentioned this, I think, earlier this week, too. His ability to get to the second level and reach onto those linebackers to extend runs. And think about even that final four-minute offensive series where Rodgers brings it out. I believe it was on 3rd and 9. J.C. Treader's running stride for stride with him.
Yeah.
And being able to – it's not a huge block, but being able to cut off the defensive linemen that are there so they can't dive at Rodgers' ankles – I just thought that was a really important play. And just seeing him throughout the course of the game, I'm really it's impressive how he's matured. You look at that entire 2013 offensive line group with Bakhtiari, Lane Taylor, and J.C. Treader. It took some time for those three to come together and find their spots in the offensive lineup together.
Yeah.
But now that it has, I think the Packers are really reaping the benefits of that.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing that all three of those guys came in the same year. Switching to the defensive side of the ball, do you have a defensive player on the rise that you would single out at this point?
The most improved player on the roster, in my estimation, is Joe Thomas. And I wrote about him, our first player on the rise feature this year, I wrote on Joe Thomas. What he's done to remake his body, he always was a big hitter.
Yeah.
No question. But he was coming from the FCS level at South Carolina State. Questions about whether or not he was big enough to do it at the NFL. And as I heard on the game broadcast this past week, there was even some consideration if he might even be moved to safety during his time in Green Bay. So the Packers stuck by him. He put in the work this offseason, and he's really made himself into a guy that could play every down now. And that was the big thing last year. He was just the dime linebacker. He was the coverage linebacker. Right. Well, now you're seeing him make an impact in that nickel package. I think with him, Jake Ryan, and Blake Martinez, all three of them have roles right now in this defense, and I think that's one of the reasons why the Packers are having success in the trenches so far is how active all three of those guys have been.
Yeah, and the other impressive thing I think about Thomas, you talk about how he remade his body and whatnot and bulked up a little bit. He hasn't lost any of his speed, any of his quickness at all. He's still that coverage guy, the dime linebacker. He can still get out there on the running backs. There was no sacrifice of speed there. Otherwise, he wouldn't have the role that he has on this defense. I will go with, as far as a defensive player on the rise, I'll go with another guy that you wrote about this past week, Kyler Fackrell. Third-round draft pick out of Utah State. Now, he got some more snaps against the Lions than he'd had previously because of the injury to Clay Matthews. But we saw he gets his first regular season sack. We saw him get a couple of sacks in the preseason as well. He's a player that they have a role for him as a third down pass rusher, a guy who can get after the quarterback on passing downs, and I think this is something that as a rookie who still is going to have plenty of time to develop, but this is where he can make an impact in 2016.
Yeah, and if I had to give what I would refer to as the Hundley Award to anybody this year, it's certainly Kyler Fackrell, the guy that's made the biggest jump from when he got here during the rookie orientation camp to where he's at now at this point in the season.
That's a good point.
Really improved leaps and bounds. I mean, I go back to that Kansas City preseason finale where he said he kind of felt everything click for him. 10 tackles, 6 of them for a loss. 6 tackles for a loss in that game. It's something he did in college, and it's something that he's really shown a knack for in the NFL. The defensive front right now at the Packers, I think what's really interesting, they have such a unique blend of talent. The defensive linemen aren't your typical 6'3", 6'4", 330-pound behemoths. They're more in Mike Daniels' form now, and these these edge rushers now, a little bit lengthier. So I think it's worked out really well for them so far. When you look at a guy like Fackrell, when he is called in for duty, when they don't have Clay Matthews, when you don't have Dayton Jones, who's become a three-down player for them, Fackrell really stepped up. And as he said, we'll see what happens after the bye week. We'll see who's back. But those reps that he got are going to be very important down the stretch because the Packers are going to need him.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, we've got more bye week awards to talk about after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, another bye week projection, I guess maybe we'll call this one. Is there a player that maybe we've seen a little bit of here and there through the first 3 weeks that you believe as we come back from the bye and as the season progresses that we might start seeing a little bit more of show up on Sundays?
Yeah, it happened a little bit this past week against Detroit, but I'm going to go with Big Dean Lowry, the Packers' fourth-round pick out of Northwestern. Was really impressed by the reps that he gave the Packers in that game. He's showing a knack. even though I know there were some questions about his arm length coming out of Northwestern, but he showed a real knack for being able to get some movement inside the trenches. And, you know, you saw a couple times, I think including the one where he got the tackle for a loss, kind of moving across the line a little bit. You know, he's playing a new spot there at that three tech when they use him there. He's probably more of your traditional five tech end in a base defense.
Sure.
But he was able to really do some nice things inside. Just seems really gritty. You saw his helmet pop off. and you know, the thing is that Dayton Jones, as great of a job as he's doing, the reason they moved him to outside rusher is because they didn't really want to have to use him so much in the defensive line, and the opportunities were scarce. Well, now you got someone who's a little bit more of a prototypical guy in terms of his size.
Yeah.
And I think Lowry, the opportunity's there for him if he continues to prove to have a bigger role in this defense going forward.
Yeah, definitely a high motor guy. That was the word on him coming out of Northwestern, and he's definitely proven to be that so far. My guy that I will pick as far as a player we may see more of as we go along, I'll go with another guy from the rookie draft class, and that's Trevor Davis out of Cal at wide receiver. We saw him go deep and draw the 66-yard pass interference penalty against the Lions. Heck of a throw by Aaron Rodgers there, too, by the way, rolling to his left and launching that thing.
70 yards.
Yeah. But he draws that pass interference to set up a touchdown. We also saw him turn in a pretty nice return. It got called back on a penalty, but you could see his speed and his ability to do some things in open space there on the return. Now, the pass in the fourth quarter on first and 10 when the Packers are trying to kill some clock and protect a lead, he's got to make that catch. So no excuses there. He knows he has to make that catch, but I don't think that one play necessarily is going to reduce his opportunities as the season goes along.
No doubt, and he will make that catch in the future. What I really liked about that play, though, is how much separation he got from his man. Kind of a deep stop route,
yeah.
Came back to the ball. I was impressed by that, but yes, as you're right, double clutched it, you got to bring that one in. But the thing that really is enticing about Davis is, as we learned on that throw from Rodgers, he could throw the ball for a mile. Now you got a guy that, I mean, if you get him in single coverage with no safety over the top, throw it up there, give him a shot, see what can happen. And
yeah.
In that case, it was a 66-yard defensive pass interference penalty. He's an exciting young player, and that's somebody that defensive coordinators are going to have to account for going forward.
Yeah, I think so. Well, before we throw it to another break, Wes, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment for today's show. We'll go off the regular path, I guess you might say, a little bit. There's no Packers game for Packers fans to watch this weekend with the bye, so let's veer into the college football world. A lot of eyes, not just in the state of Wisconsin, but in the college football world in general, will be on Ann Arbor, Michigan for Wisconsin against Michigan, two teams both ranked in the top 10. Got any thoughts on how you see this one?
Well, I don't cover college football very often, but we both know Jim Harbaugh very well. There's a lot of opposing coach conference calls that will forever be burned into my brain over the years. It is exciting, though. I mean, just in terms of the state of Wisconsin, we got to see it. Well, you were a part of it when the Badgers hosted LSU here. And there just seems to be something kind of special about this year's team. Now, obviously, they made a change at quarterback with Alex Hornibrook now as the guy, it seems like. That was the missing piece for them going forward, that defense and what Justin Wilcox has built, taking that sort of basis that Dave Aranda had and really turning that even, taking it to another level, has been really impressive. And it's typical Wisconsin football. You know, have your running back, have your defense, and win a bowl game.
Yeah, well, it's time for me to boast of my my hometown pride here, because many folks may not know Paul Christ, the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, is actually from Platteville, Wisconsin, which is my hometown, where I grew up. when I was a sixth grader, Paul Christ was the quarterback of the Platteville High School football team. 1983 led the Platteville High Hillman to its first and I still believe only state championship in high school football. So as somebody who's from the same hometown as Paul, I've followed his coaching career and I like to call him the pride of Platteville. there's the Platteville connection with Bo Ryan, the former Wisconsin basketball coach, as he got his college coaching career off the ground at UW Platteville. This is one that goes back to my youth as well, with watching Paul as a star quarterback in high school, an all-state caliber player at that time.
Yeah, and it's like a little bit of a feeder system for Wisconsin now, it seems like. But his dad was the coach there, right?
Yes, his dad, George Christ, was the coach, the football coach at UW Platteville when we were growing up.
Yeah, and I mean, the stories I heard about him and just the man that he was, and obviously his brother, too, Jeep, has had a lot. Paul's brother, Jeep, has had a lot of success as well coaching. So, yeah, the guy knows how to handle quarterbacks, and I think that's probably the exciting thing with Hornibrook now. That's kind of the guy he gets to develop and the sort of the next one in this lineage, and only a redshirt freshman now, so a lot of potential there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Hornibrook develops. Paul Christ, as you said, he has worked with a lot of quarterbacks that maybe people didn't know that much about and developed them over
Russell
the years
Wilson
at Wisconsin.
Swears by him too,
yeah,
so.
And you know, John Stocko was a quarterback who didn't look like a whole heck of a lot, so to speak, when he first showed up on the scene in Madison. And by the time he graduated, he was a really, really productive player for some pretty good Wisconsin teams. So, well, with that, we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.